Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. We worship in Jesus' precious name and welcome any visitors in his name as well. When we approach scripture, we can begin to understand who Jesus Christ is and how God moves to redeem and transform us through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. And we turn to our intimations. Tea and coffee after the service in the small hall as usual. It's a time of fellowship, just a time to be together. Concert on Tuesday for the Guild at 1:30 in the Church Hall, the Rural Revellers entertaining. And so tickets, including afternoon tea, will cost £4, and members of the congregation are invited to join the Guild. World Day of Prayer World Day of Prayer this Friday, March the 1st. Will be here instead of Ardeer at 2 o'clock. So the World Day of Prayer will be here at 2 o'clock on Friday 1st. A reminder of our prayer times, just broke this morning. It might change for next week because at 11:05 we should be worshipping. I'm looking for Andrew. Will it change slightly? 10:05. Oh, you're preaching as well, aren't you? Yes. Well, if people want to gather for prayer just after 10 o'clock, they could just gather and sit and pray. However, this, because it brings me on to the point of it's shared worship next week. I'll just go with the shared worship bit, but just leave it, it'll be fine. We'll get to that slide. Shared worship next week at 10:30 here for communion. So Margaret Craig and Andrew are conducting worship. Andrew's preaching. Robert Travers is celebrating communion. I'm going to be at the local church review on the 3rd. I'm going to be up at St John's in Largs preaching there. And on the 10th, I'll be up at Cumbrae, in Cumbrae preaching in the new building there as part of the local church review of St John's and Cumbrae. Our joint elders meet, Ardeer and Livingston elders meet 7:30 here in the church hall as part of our local church review, and that's convened by James McNay and there's two elders, and then the other minister is Jonathan Fleming from St John's. The joint session conference on Saturday morning, again it's the two sessions meeting together, 9:30 till 12:30 here in Livingston. We have various things to go through. A lot of this is looking towards where we're going, what the future looks like. And that's the change of worship time. Is there anything else after that? You put that up quickly. This is the time of, just a time of peace, restoration and healing. Next Sunday evening at 7 p.m. I haven't quite made up my mind whether it's going to be here in the church or through in one of the halls. I'll do that through the week. But it's just a time to spend quietly, reconnecting with God, looking at the restoration, looking at what healing is. And I think that's all the intimations. I should say just before we do move on, you will be aware that there was a crossover of services here this morning. The Ardeer building is closed temporarily for issues around fire alarms and fire risk assessment. That's all I'm going to say. It's all you need to know at the moment. But the building is closed, so there's going to be no activities going on during the week, at least this week. So we don't know how long that's going to happen. That's why we have the shared worship next week. All heaven declares, let's rise to sing to his glory. Thank you. days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their heart, their minds, and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Amen. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing.
Thank you.
Let's bring our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Oh God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come before you, focusing on you, the great God of heaven. Coming because we are privileged to come before you in that close relationship as your children. You are our God, our Father, and we are your children. And Father, as we focus on you, our Father, it helps us include others as we focus up to you, our God, our Creator. Father, as we come before you, hallowed be your name. Father, we come to express that your name and all that stands for be treated as holy. Your name be praised, honoured and respected by all, and especially by us as we express praise and thanks to you. So Lord, as we worship, may your name be holy. May you be honoured. May we bow before you in reverence and fear. Your kingdom come. Lord, it's your plans for this place, your plans for your people, not our plans. And so we put your kingdom first, and we plea that your rule over this world would come to set things right. And Lord, as we ask for you to come in your kingdom to set things right, we ask you to come into our own selves to set us right. Lord, that you would reign in our lives. And Father, we seek your will in this place, your will on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we pray that all would perfectly obey you, just as the angels of heaven do. Father, we pray that we would be able to, by your Spirit, seek and obey your will in our lives, that you would be at the centre of all that we do and say and think. Father, we know that you're the provider. You provided the people in the wilderness with manna, just as much as they needed. And Lord, as soon as they tried to store it up, it was destroyed. So we come to you for our daily needs today. And Lord, as we do, we just express those quietly. What is it that we need from you today? Is it peace? Is it healing? Is it bread? Is it a physical thing? Is it a spiritual thing? And Father, as we worship and we praise you, so we come before you with all our sins and we ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, as we ask for and seek and receive your forgiveness for our sins, so we turn to those who have sinned against us and we forgive them. And Lord, it can be so hard, so difficult. But you call us to love you and to love our neighbours. That includes our enemies, those whom we love and those whom we struggle to love. Father, help us forgive those whom we struggle to love. We can't do that on our own. And Father, as we go through life, so we seek your protection. May you divert us from temptations, those things that present themselves and we look at and we're so tempted to go to make them the centre of our lives and not you. We're so tempted just to be distracted by whatever it is. May we know you at that time. May you protect us and divert us from that temptation. May you deliver us from evil. We're in a spiritual warfare, Lord. May you deliver us from evil. May you protect us. And Lord, as we praise you, we remember that you are the God of all, that you simply are. You are. You, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Lord, hear us as we sum up our prayers using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we say amen, we let it be so. We turn to our scripture now from John chapter 6 at verse 16. These stories are familiar to us from the other Gospels, but John presents them just a little bit differently. He tells us about certain signs which he hopes will encourage belief, be a starting point for understanding Jesus, and show Christ for who he is. So our scripture from John chapter 6. Listen, each one, for the word of God.
Jesus walks on the water. When evening came, the disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus.
And as we do our usual dwelling in the word, we'll hear the word read again and then just spend a couple of minutes. I'll be back up on the screen after that as well. Just to spend a couple of minutes looking through that, thinking, praying through it. What is it that Jesus is saying to you through the scriptures? What's the Holy Spirit picking up and bringing to your attention? And then we'll finish that with just sitting and singing, "Jesus, take me as I am." So let's hear the word again.
Jesus walks on the water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus.
Just to share something and what I've been trying to achieve through this, when as I prepare to preach, I'm normally reading the verses every day, at least once a day. I'm praying through them and looking through them and just trying to be open to what God says. And yet this morning, as it was being read again, there was something different appeared to me, something that I've never noticed, and it's this. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. That's something for me to actually think about. If you imagine the Lake of Galilee, Tiberias is down here, Capernaum is up here, and Jesus and the disciples and the feeding of the 5,000 was across here. So there's people who have come from Tiberias, crossed the lake to go to where Jesus was, where they knew he was, and on finding him not there, or not finding him there, they've come across to Capernaum. And it just strikes me for initial thought of the desire and the commitment and determination of people to find Jesus, that they've crossed a lake twice. And it's not an easy lake. And that's just something that came to me this morning as the words were being read. That's kind of where I'm hoping that I can encourage you through the Holy Spirit to get to. I'm not asking you to share what you find, but actually there's a time, maybe a time coming when we will, and maybe it's something, and here's really to frighten you all, we could have an open mic session, where if there was something you wanted to give testimony to in that reading, you could just get a microphone and say it. I can see all the fear. Not for now. I reassure you, not for now. But actually giving testimony is a part of a service. It's part of how we worship God. and we continue with our offering. As we move to our prayer for others, we remember the prayers of the prayer tree, and the trees there and labels there available for anyone who wants to add to them. But there's the prayers there. At Drossan Presbytery, as we go through our points, is Westbrook Kilbride Parish Church, Reverend James McNay. James, as I said earlier, is the convener of the local church review team who's coming here, but he's also a vice convener of ministries and superintendents committee. He's the vice convener looking at ministries. Alan Richardson is the convener of that committee, and Ian Brown is the superintendent vice convener. For Crossreach is Gaberston House in Alloa, a residential and outreach service for adults with mental health problems. And Path of Renewal, the grouping, Group 4, Trinent Parish Church in Lothian, Erica Wishart, Errolston Parish Church, Melrose and Peebles, Julie Rennick, and Eyemouth Parish Church, Andy Haddo, and the mentors Robin Hill and Mark Foster. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do. We gather up all these prayers, the prayers that are on the prayer tree, prayers of your people here that take the time to write something up, to pray it. So we gather them up and we put them before you. We pray through these prayer points for the local ones, for the a wee bit further away, and for the other ones on the other side of Scotland. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your Spirit who comes to lead and to guide and to convict and to challenge and to cherish. And so as we pray, Lord, that we would just be Father, we worship you as we bring our prayers. We pray for each one here, those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are in front of us and behind us, those who are seated above us and below us, and those who are in another part of this building. May you praise your holy name. May you touch each one at the point of their need. We pray for your church here in Stevenston, for those who profess that Jesus is Lord. May we be beacons to your people. May we know your Spirit of healing. May we know your Spirit of love. Father, we pray for our governments. And as we watch the news, we see just so much turmoil going on there. That same kind of turmoil and chaos we see in the world, may your peace be with us, Lord. May the world know your peace. So, Father, we We thank you and we rejoice that you are our God. Take a moment just to remember all those that are in our hearts, on our minds. And Father, we pray that you, the Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget, hearing this prayer offered in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sing together a hymn for the month, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone.
Thank you.
Let's join together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place in order that their perception of what I say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that I'll be very, very clear and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So really, to get to where we need to be, we need to look a wee bit further down, a wee bit further back from John 6. We're looking at who God is. We've been looking at that over the last few weeks. We're about to move to a point where we'll be looking at Jesus and the I Am sayings in John. And so we come to that point. But in John chapter 4, we hear and read of John, Jesus talking with the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well. And there's that discourse or discussion between Jesus and the woman, and he points out several things about her, and she goes off and she tells the people, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Now remember, the Samaritans and the Jews just don't get on with each other. The disciples come back, they're all confused about this conversation and this time, and also we see these many of the Samaritans from that time believed in him because of her testimony, because she has gone and told them of the conversation. They have believed, many believed. It's amazing what testimony can do, just to take that time to share what it is. Many of us struggle with that. Many of us have difficulty in telling our story, but actually that's part of what it is to be Christian, to be able to share that or to share something that God has done in our lives. So that's the first part of John 4. And then as we go through that, Jesus heals an official's son. And then in chapter 5, we get to the healing at the pond in Bethsaida, the sheep gate. And this pool, and this man has been there for many, many years, and he can never get, the whole thing is, if you're first in the pool, you get the healing, and he never gets there, because he can't get there fast enough. And Jesus says to him, do you want to get well? You know, there's a point that comes when actually you ask that question. Can you ask that question of yourselves? Do you want to get well? What do we actually want? Was the man actually more comfortable beside the pool, living the life he knew? Not maybe a great life, but living the life he knew, therefore being more comfortable, than receiving healing and living a different life? So the challenge there is, do you want to get well? And then in chapter 5 there, Jesus speaks about his authority. He's challenged because of these healings on the Sabbath. But here we see Jesus performing miracles, and then he's challenged about them. And this believers come in and ask him, what authority you're doing this on the Sabbath? What authority do you have? And he speaks about his authority from Scripture. And then we move to chapter 6. And we read about the feeding of the 5,000, the 5,000 plus. And after that, Jesus goes off on his own and the disciples wait for him. As we read through chapter 6, we find that he says that he is the bread of life. We'll come to that in due course. But at the end of chapter 6, here's this bit that maybe we kind of shift over, because again, it's kind of difficult, it's kind of challenging, but it's worth noting. So Jesus has been teaching. He's teaching about being the bread of life. And then on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to him, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." And there's many left. They found the teaching too difficult. Did it make them uncomfortable? Did they actually want to get well? Did they actually want to know who Jesus was? Or was it just nice and fashionable to follow him since everyone else was? These are questions we struggle to answer. But actually we need to take note. This is where all this happens in and around. So we come back to that point. Jesus had fed the 5,000 and he goes off on his own. The disciples wait for him. They know they're going to go back to Capernaum, back across the lake, and they wait for him. But they wait and they wait and then they go and it's got dark. So they're rowing over the lake, the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. They're rowing over the lake. Now it's a big lake and there's hills on either side of it. And what happens is when the wind comes in, it whirls around and it's whizzed up just by the geography around it. And so it can be difficult. And generally, when you're rowing across the lake towards Capernaum, you're actually rowing into the wind. So these disciples are in the boat, they've been rowing across, and John says they're three, 4 miles across. Mark puts them in the middle of the lake as they head to Capernaum, and they see Jesus. Mark says it's as if we saw a ghost, but they see Jesus walking on the water. Now, one of the ways that people try and explain away this walking on the water is they say, all they saw was Jesus walking on the shoreline, and it looked like he was walking on water from that kind of distance. But it's 3 or 4 miles. It's in the middle of the lake and it's dark. How can they see that? What they see is Jesus walking on water towards them. Another miracle. And as he opens up and he says to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." And immediately they get to where they're going. They've been struggling against the wind. They've been trying to get across this lake. They've been on their own. They're struggling. It's been difficult for them. And Jesus appears and suddenly there they are. We see this in other bits of scripture. Philip was suddenly moved to. Jesus himself, after his baptism, was suddenly taken to that place of temptations. The Spirit moved him. But here Jesus comes. And he approaches them and he says, "It is I, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, it is I." You know, that "it is I" is a kind of smoothing out of the Greek translation. One of the ways it can be translated is, "I am." So it's like Jesus coming across and just saying to them, "I am, don't be afraid, I am." And of course, that takes us back to Exodus, to when Moses was speaking with God at the burning bush, and he says, "I am who I am. Tell them I am sent me, or sent you. Tell them I am sent you. I am who I am." So God, very much who he is, I am, that's his name. Here's Jesus saying the same thing, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together. I am. And you know, when we look back at Genesis, the very start of Scripture, it says, in the beginning God. The beginning God created. In the beginning God. And actually, at the end of the day, what we're asked to believe and to accept is simply this. Simply this, that God is. The very beginning, God is. The very start, God is. There was nothing before God. There was just God. And all has come from him. And all will eventually go back to him. God is. So Jesus there is saying, it's I, don't be afraid. And you know, there's something that happens when Jesus is at the center of your lives. Fear disappears. Sure, we can look at things and we can be worried about them, we can be concerned about them, but actually we turn to God, we turn to Jesus, to the center of our lives, and he says, it is I, don't be afraid. We rely totally on him. It was God who provided the manna for the people in exile. They needed food and he provided just what they needed. So, it's God calling. So I had to say something. I was actually listening to make sure it wasn't my phone. You know, Jesus comes, he comes to the center of our lives. And yeah, we get distractions, but we come back to him. We come back to him, for he's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the true vine. And by following him, by making him the center of our lives, we're disciples. And actually, the temple, the church, is each one of us, not this building. He says, do not be afraid. And this is where I believe where healing ministry comes into this. Because actually healing is about accepting that. Healing is also about being healed of something. But actually, healing ministry is also that thing about, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? Do you want to change the situation that you're in? Do you want Jesus to change the situation that we're in? And you know, we can be awful proud and arrogant people. Even if we think it might be a good idea, but we can always sit here and, I'm not going to change, I'm not going to move. What we're called to do, very first words of Jesus, part of his ministry was repent and believe. We're called to repent and believe. And you know, I believe that that's what we have to do. I believe that as God's people in this place, we're at a point where God is saying to us, do you want to get well? Is Jesus at the center of our lives, individually and as a congregation? Is he there? Is he at the center? Because the plans that we lay out for our church, for our way forward, for what we do, are not necessarily God's plans. And we can only know his plans when we look at the word, when we make Jesus the center. I said this morning earlier that I'm not a maintenance minister. I have never seen myself as a maintenance minister. Maintenance minister is somebody who comes and just lets things chug along. This is what we've always done. This is what we'll always do. This is how it's always going to be. And the maintenance minister will just let that happen. He won't encourage it. I believe that that leads to death. For there's no life in that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrection and the life. I believe that there's life. Not as we know it, but there's life. There's shoots of things that can happen in this place, but we need to look differently. We need to make Jesus the centre first. But we don't have an awful lot of time. We don't have an awful lot of time. We can't hang around. This week is a critical week, I think, in the life of this church. Life of this linkage. It's a critical week. As a local church review comes to see a way forward, as Presbytery comes to see that way forward, and we also have the issues with buildings. You know, no matter how we try and keep things the same, can it happen? God has a plan. But for us, we need to keep Jesus at the centre, to praise him, to focus on him, to be his disciples and to build and to make disciples. The church of the future, in fact, the church of today and the future cannot look like the church of the past. What was done and actually worked well for many years, but for many, many, many years, for decades, it's not been working. And we are where we are. And we need to face up to that, and we need to repent. Make Jesus the centre and believe. Thine be the glory. Let's worship him. Thine be the glory. Father, as we leave this place, may we remember by your Spirit to keep Jesus at the centre of all that we do, all we think, all whom we are. And Father, as we praise you and glorify your name, we honour you. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one, all whom you love, all whom you struggle to love now until Jesus comes again and then forevermore. Sing peace to you. Let's share that peace by looking around and engaging with people and just smiling or waving to each other.